Blog Talk Radio.
I hope you find some peace of mind in this lifetime.
Tell them
the truth.
I hope you find some paradise.
Tell them the truth. Tell them.
Tell them you're...
I've been going through something. 1,855 days. I've been going through something. Be afraid.
What is a bitch in a miniskirt? A man in his feelings with bitterness. What is the woman that really hurt? A demon, you're better on killing her. What is a relative? Make a repetitive narrative on how you did it first. That is a predator in reverse. All of your presidency with her. What is a neighborhood reputable? That is a snitch on a pedestal. What is a house with a better view? A family broken and variable. What is a rapper with jewelry? A way that I show my maturity. What if I call on security? That mean I'm calling on God for purity. I wanna get me a therapist. I can debate on my theories and sharing it well. Consolidate all my comparisons. Humble enough because time was imperative. Whoa. Started to feel like it's only one answer to everything. I don't know where it is. Whoa. Popping a bottle with Claritin. Whoa. Is it my head or my arrogance? Whoa. Shaking and moving like what am I doing? I'm flipping my time through the Rolodex. Indulging myself in my life through my music. The world that I'm in is a total sex. The world that we in is just menacing. The demons portray the religionists. I'm waking them one and another hope women. I hope the psychologist listening. The new Mercedes with black G-Wagon away from. It was all for rap. I was 28 years young, 20 mil in tax. Bought a couple of mansions just for practice. 500 in jewelry, chain was magic. Never had it in public, late reaction. 50K to cousins, post a caption. Pray none of my enemies hold me captive. I grieve different. Chicago, North America tour, my eyes closed. B-5-4 bump, she was the motto. Dedicated to the songs I wrote in the Bible. Eyes like green, penetrating the moonlight. Hair done in a bun, energy in the room like Big Bang for theory. God, hoping you hear me. Phone off the ring, but tell the world I'm busy. Fair enough, green eyes that her mother didn't care enough. Sympathize when her daddy in the chain gang. Her first brother got killed, he was 21. I was 9 when they put Lamont in the grave. Heartbroken when I sailed and said goodbye. Chad left his body after we FaceTimed. Green eyes said you'd be okay. First tour, sex the pain away. I grieve different. The new Mercedes with black G-Wagon away from. It was all for rap. I was 28 years young, 20 million in tax. Bought a couple of mansions just for practice. 500 in jewelry, chain was magic. Never had it in public, late reaction. 50K to cousins, post a caption. Pray none of my enemies hold me captive. So what? Paralyzed, the county building controlled us. I bought a Rolex watch, I only wore once. I bought affinity pools I never swam in. I watched Keen by 4 cars in 4 months. You know the family dynamics on repeat. The insecurities locked down on PC. I bought a 223, nobody peace treat. You won't do me, I smell TNT. Dave got I'm a Porsche, so I got me a Porsche. Paid lottery for it, I ain't wanted it Porsches. Poverty was the case, but the money wiping the tears away. I grieve different.
Everybody grieves different. Everybody grieves different.
I grieve different.
Computer, 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 computer,
searching for someone who can share that special love with me. And do I have that glow? Could it be your face I see on my computer screen?
Thomas Tuckmose Smith, and he's looking at techno censorship, the shut up nigga effect. And he's going to be talking about that and other things here, too. Greetings, Tuckmose. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening, Beth. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, great. Good evening, Beth. Good evening to the family.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good.
How's everything out in your neck of the woods?
You know, I be so busy looking at everywhere else that I don't really be paying attention what be going on at home.
That always be the case. What you been seeing going on elsewhere?
Everybody talking about that fight.
Oh, man, that was that's an all-time classic, man. That was like
yeah.
That took me back to growing up in the hood days, like, damn, man, that was a old-fashioned ass-whipping.
Yes.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing.
So mm-hmm. I have to say that I commend those black people. We often don't stick together, you know, we shoot each other. We fight
mm-hmm.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
But some things we come together for, okay? Third thing,
right.
The line is all the do-rags are coming off. You know, we black, okay? And that was one of them cases. White people parking their boat at the dock
mm-hmm.
Where they weren't supposed to be parked at.
Okay.
The dock for the ferry. The black people were on this ferry. They're eating dinner on a ferry. Like, here in New York, I guess, like the Circle Line, they call it in New York, where they go around Manhattan and you eat dinner,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So
yeah.
They can't pull into the dock because there's boats there, and these white people are refusing to move. So the black security guard goes and asks them, please move. And they... you know, didn't want to move. All of a sudden, one of them starts talking back at him, pointing at him in the face, and then he takes a swing at the black security officer. So the black security officer throws the hat in the air. That was like the, that reminded me of the NFL, like when you got a first down, you know, when there's a penalty or something, and they throw the flag. When they can't get the flag, they grab the hat. When they don't have a flag, they throw the hat down to mark the spot. So I think that was the lesson. The other security guards know, yo, I'm in distress. He throws the hat up.
Okay.
And the other white person starts to swing on him. So he's trying to fight the tool. And one of them comes with, like, a flying knee. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it was three of them jumping in one plumber. You know, and I see black people at the top running, but they got to run around the whole thing and come down. So one of them gets there, and he's trying to, they swing at him, but he's not trying to fight. He's trying to get them off of the other
Break
brother.
Them off of the guy,
Yeah, yeah. But then I see my man, and I hear he's a young kid, and he came swimming in. Like, now we know niggas can't swim. They found a nigga that can swim. Okay, he came swimming in, and one stride, he pulled himself up out the water, and he was on his feet, kicking off his flip-flop, and he slammed this white boy so hard. Oh, man, that was MMA style. Like, he put him in a cross position, lifted him up, and boomed him. I said, oh, they say he's only 16 or 17, and he got a GoFundMe for his legal defense. So I'm gonna find more information out. But so he came in. He did some straight up young brother, you know. And then they go down to the boat. You know, the white people got on the boat. Now they like, it's over. Oh no! Now see, this is an unwritten rule. You in Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where you come from. I know in New Jersey where I'm from. Same thing I witnessed in New York. It's an unwritten rule when dealing with black people. Specifically, when there's someone who got jumped.
Yeah.
And you go get your friends now. You go rally up the troops to help you. And they come back. That initial comeback, they don't care who's there. They don't care who's outside. If you was on that, they coming back to fight. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter who, if you was a part of the jumping or not. Once they see you, you getting jumped. They jumping
that's
out on you because they assume you was part of it. So that's how we look at things. So once they jumped my man, it was all best off for the white people. Okay? Because you can't differentiate between them. You know, but that was the kick. The kick was my man swimming. That one got me. I respected that. And then
but
I saw
then
the older brother
too.
With the chair.
Yes, that's what I get ready to say.
Oh, man. He took the cake, man. He took the cake, man. I saw a meme saying all black people need to go buy those white chairs and keep them in the house now. You know what I'm saying? That one, that was some WWF. That was some high. Yo, he boomed my man twice, and then he went and caught the chick. Boom! I said, oh, they locked him up immediately, though. They saw them being comfortable. Man, you know what that was, man? That was years of frustration right there.
Yeah.
Like, we finally got to be cracking. You know what I'm saying? I'm going all the way with it, you know? So, yeah. So, I'm proud of the brothers down in Alabama. You know what I'm saying? They didn't just get beat up crossing the bridge. They fought back. You know what I'm saying? I respected that. And kudos to them, Dev. You know what I'm saying? Have you heard anybody talking about that on the streets?
Yeah, that's what everybody had. Did you see the fight? That's what I'm saying. That it was like you say, one of those heavyweight fights. Everybody talking about it. And they got them two brothers, the one with the chair and the one in the water.
Yeah, that brother in the water, bro. He was like Michael Phelps out there, man. They need to put him in the Olympics. That brother he jumped off the ferry like he was breaststroking to the and just hopped up out at once. Man, yo, I tell you, our people, when our mind is made up, ain't nothing nobody can do to us. You know what I'm saying? It's just that
you do a lot of
messing around and fighting each other all the time, but. Man, that was good to see, man. That was but you know, man, Alabama, they gonna fry them dudes, man. They ain't gonna throw the book at them black people down there, man. It's not like that happened in Chicago or Detroit, you know.
Yeah,
that's a whole
other
justice system.
Yeah, but now the fight ain't over with. You know, now this is where the legal team and everybody else needs to still come to the defense. Because the fight is still going on. It started with the security guard. So they're going to, you know, throw the books at the brothers. They still need to have backup.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'll tell you, man, that was an all-in. Like, the elders, the women, and the young brothers, they was all in it together, that one, bro. They was all so, I saw sisters catching people, man. One sister came running out of the, like, where she came from? I mean, she must have hopped off the boat, jumped, you know, came down in a in a white cat suit and just started hitting this white chick so hard. I said, oh, she was catching that chick, man. I was like, man, I love it. I loved it. I just wish they would have had one stumble in. Huh?
Yeah, like back in the day when they used to stump you with they Timberlands.
Yeah, you got to be prepared to stomp people out, man. It's time to put the boots
on, you know? Yes. And also, the guys who started this, you know, they have a restaurant, too. And they put the name and the phone number and the address of their restaurant on the internet too.
Yeah, I saw that, and I saw where they're trying to get out on top of things and apologize. They said it wasn't racial. Mm-hmm. We had too much to drink. You know how they always got the cream. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But you know, not in Alabama, man. That's not the place for that. You know what I'm saying? Brothers been through too much trauma down there. They not going for it. You know, they ain't going for it at all down there no more. You know, ain't no more we shall overcome. Those days is over.
That's right.
Work.
Just a new breed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, man, I loved it, man. They pulled them off the boat. Those are the ones right there. They knew exactly who they was going for. And as soon as the young brother came up, he swung. He wasn't playing. Like, it was a few, man. I know they're going to go through that tape. I just hope all the people live out of state and they can't find them, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's going to be a terrible thing when they lock those brothers up, though, man. We need to have, and I'm with the GoFundMe and all that. We need to support them. And try to get them some lawyers and stuff, man. Where's Benjamin Crump at when you need him? You know what I'm saying? Get Benjamin Crump down there. He's trying to get dead people acknowledged and stuff. Let him come down there and really do some real lawyering, you know, instead of just cut a deal, you know. So, yeah.
We got some brilliant lawyers. We have some brilliant black lawyers and whoever else.
Oh,
black
for sure.
It's time for them to step up. You know, they take the part of the fight now.
Yeah, they need to take this one pro bono, man. Take this one off the chin.
Yeah,
because, you know, all them lawyers, when I worked in at law firms, the number one thing they do on pro bono is immigration. That's the one, without the lawyers, those people couldn't stay in the country. Those lawyers, they get a bunch of those files, and they file all the right paperwork to let them stay in the country. You know, those people can't even speak English. So they client is someone they never seen, but they're doing that whole thing through some foundation or something, whatever they might have set up, and they all do that pro bono, and they get to log those hours. They're not payable, but they get to put it down as hours worked because, you know, the way you move up in those type of firms is, and I worked, you know, 8 million hours, you know what I'm saying? You know, and he only worked 5 million hours. How come, you know, so you get to log it in as hours work. So, yeah, that's the main people doing it. So they need to take this one pro bono, man. Absolutely. Did you see?
And they need to.
No,
I'm just saying they need to come out the woodworks like the brothers did. You know, the attorneys need to be coming from all over the place to take on this.
Exactly. You know, all over Alabama, man. I know they got plenty of civil rights lawyers and stuff. That's where a lot of civil rights stuff started down there. You know, that's Martin Luther King Church was, and, you know, Rosa Parks sat on the bus in Alabama, you know, so that's all, like, you know, a key part. Was Alabama where Emmett Till was killed at, too?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Was it Alabama or Mississippi?
It was one of them.
That's the Deep South. Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and Louisiana. That's where them, you know, they got to deal with that other type of stuff. Did you see what happened in New York?
Now, what happened? About the giveaway?
Yeah. Turned into a little riot. And
some people think that was a setup. Go ahead.
It's the flash mob effect. You know, Dr. X talked about that. How you just have everybody just show up one place and everybody show up in their underwears and do a dance together. And then, you know, just walk away like they don't know each other, you know, like. So the kid, his name's Kai Cenat, and I'm familiar with him from YouTube. He's kind of young, so I don't really, you know, watch too many of his videos, but occasionally he's a video gamer. He's supposedly good at video gaming. I haven't been a gamer in some years, so I don't know too much, you know, about what games he plays. But he's a video gamer, and he gets millions of people who sit there and watch him play games on Twitch. So he's gotten quite wealthy playing these games in front of these people. Kids idolize him; he's their favorite player. You know, they watch him play these games and all this stuff. So. And he's gotten quite popular with the entertainers. So occasionally in his room while he's playing games, he'll have a rapper or, you know, somebody else there. And that person I might want to see. So I'm going to check it out. You know what I'm saying? So he's a black kid, just a gamer, lives in a mansion, looks like his parents' house because he's been in the same room. You know, when he plays his game, got all these nice gadgets and clothes. You know, a social influencer guy. Millions of people on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. And he said he was going to give away 5 PlayStation 5 game consoles and about 100 gift cards to the people that showed up for this event. And apparently, some people got there early. They said it was a few people there wasn't that big of a deal. And around noontime, plumes and plumes of young black kids started coming. Okay? They coming in with the music. They dancing. They rapping. They smoking. They you know what I'm saying? They doing their thing. They just there at the event having a good time. He comes out. They clap for him. They watch him too. It was a peaceful event. And some idiot throws a water bottle from one side of the crowd to the other side of the crowd. And it hits someone. So that person picks up the water bottle and throws it back, of course, into the other side of the crowd. Crowd didn't care who they hit because they just got hit with a water bottle from over there. And it hit somebody who probably wasn't the right person. And that person picked up something and threw it. And you just saw everything flying from one side of the crowd to the next. And next thing you know, fist are thrown. And it becomes a big fight. You know what I'm saying? Not quite as good as the fight in Alabama. But young black kids, they fighting, they jumping people. It didn't start that way. So the police come in, and being that this wasn't an event that the police were notified about, it was only supposed to be a few hundred people. No reason to call the police to have barricades and extra cops out there and all that stuff. But it turned into that. So the police came in there to try to get order, and these young kids started beating the cops' ass. Now, this part was just as bad as what you saw in Alabama. I was shocked at what these young kids were doing to the police. I mean, no respect, no regard for them. I mean, they went all the way in on the police and jumped on their cars, damaged their police equipment. So the police had to run through the park. And then once they got to the other side of the park, the vans came with the police. And once they come, ain't nothing stopping that. That's a done deal. You know what I'm saying? Right. They're coming out with the billy clubs and they 15 cops in each van. You ain't doing nothing to that. You know, once they came, it was ordered. You know, the order was restored, but they want to charge this young kid with felonies and stuff, and I don't think that he should be charged with felony. I don't think that he intended for this to happen. You know what I'm saying? He just was having a small event. He didn't know that he had that many people that was going to show up. I mean, he should have known when black people hear something street, we all going to show up. You know what I'm saying? So he giving away five, I'm going to get one of them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so he kind of messed up there, but I think some of these charges coming from the black mayor is a little ridiculous, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a young kid, probably 18, 19, social media personality. He ain't no bad kid. In fact, the event was entitled Get Off the Streets and Go Stream. You know what I'm saying? Telling the kids, get off the streets and go do what he's doing. Go stream yourself and get money, you know, streaming on YouTube and Twitch and TikTok and whatever, you know, and stop doing whatever the bad stuff is in the street. So he even had a good message behind it. But, of course, everything getting misconstrued, so he's menace to society number one, you know what I'm saying? So I hope it works out for him, you know. But I was kind of impressed watching the young people fight the cops there. I said, man, these kids ain't scared of the police. They don't, you know what I'm saying? These kids just, they going in. You know, they trying to get the gun. I mean, they ain't playing. Like, they really trying to beat. And then I turned around and saw the Alabama thing. I said, man, maybe we reached a turning point. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we reached the turning point over here, Tom. More seriously, I was just being confused. More seriously, the children today that are teenagers, their experience with public outrage, so to say, is defined by the George Floyd market, okay? And I sat back like everyone else did. We had COVID, so everybody was home, and I watched that. And I saw stuff go down in that those riots, which went on for a whole summer. I mean, that I ain't never seen happen in no other riots in American history. People were shooting fireworks at the cops, and cops couldn't do nothing about it. People was, you know what I'm saying, looting and robbing, and it was like, just let them do it.
But that,
so this
that
is
was
this.
Organized. That was organized.
But it was organized to allow them to do that. So now here it is 2-3 years later. This is how else do they know how to riot, right? This is what you
okay,
do,
so
jump on the cars.
Them. It was showing them, the young people, what to do and how to do it. That's what
they showed them the wrong way to do it. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not
right,
the right,
right
way to do it. But
right.
You showed them that you let them get away with the wrong way because for political reasons. They wanted to politicize the George Floyd thing. They wanted to use that as a premise to make Trump look bad and his policing and all that stuff. So the whole summer of riots, which we never saw. How long black riots usually last? What, a day or two before they send in the National Guard and shut it down?
Right.
They went through Minnesota and burnt down every precinct. And no one went to jail. Like, well, what are we doing here? That now you want to punish these kids for doing it? Like, no, you can't do that. Y'all let them get away with it. Y'all created this animal. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is how they're going to riot from now until the end of till they finish, you know? And they got to deal with it. They're going to go and tear shit up. That's what they were taught, you know? But they ain't going to never get no justice doing that. You know what I'm saying? They just going to look like a bunch of hooligans and stuff. And that's what the media did to the riots where George Floyd, when they went through Chicago and went through Los Angeles and Atlanta, looting all the stores, burning down the properties, and the media said, oh, they're just exhibiting some outrage. They didn't demonize them for it. It was like it was totally fine. So we're looking back now like, oh, so this is cool to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the media let them get away with it, you know?
To me, it's like it was a setup.
Exactly.
You
George,
know how you set
said George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
Soros had it all set up. They had the DAs in place. So nobody was going to go get charged with anything. I mean, they had it set up perfectly, you know, but.
But I'm talking about they set it up for the young people. You know, it's like, hey, this is like you just say, this is how you do it. And they made it like, oh, it's okay. You ain't going to get in trouble. But then now they baited them in. And so now they in. And now they want to give them felonies and lock them up for life and
exactly.
All that.
Exactly. There you go. That's exactly what I'm saying. Now you want to drop the hammer on them. You know what I'm saying? And but it was perfectly fine when it fits their agenda. It was perfectly fine to have the whole NBA walking around with Black Lives Matter jerseys. You even had hockey teams looking around with Black Lives Matter jerseys. Like, come on, man. This is ridiculous, but all to fit an agenda. So, I thought that was pretty interesting to see them young kids getting it in like that. The other big thing that happened this week, Bev, did you see this new discovery called LK99?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, they're calling this the greatest discovery in history of mankind. Could be. It's very much in the early stages. But it's something that hasn't happened often, something that's a superconductor. But it operates at room temperature. Usually when you have a superconductor, it has to operate at 0 degrees. Wait, like when I talk about zero, I mean, you got to go below zero, but each one is certain, like maybe 23 degrees below zero, carrier to be a superconductor. It might be 48,000 degrees below zero for this material to be a superconductor, but this thing is conducting at room temperature, you know. And so it could potentially change electricity forever, like the way you get electricity, the way that we deliver electricity, everything could change with this one device, right? Instead of you having wires and stuff that control your electricity, you'll have like a little piece of this material just spinning in suspension. And how superconductors work, if you take the two magnets and put them on top of each other, the superconductor will stay suspended in the middle, just spinning around, right? Conducted energy on its own. That's why it's a superconductor. It doesn't have any wires or anything hooked up to it. You know, it's just conducting energy on its own and able to give off way more energy than any copper wiring or anything that we use in our houses and stuff. This is like a super big deal if this happens. I did some little research on conductors and stuff just so people could get a gist on what a conductor is and what a superconductor is. A conductor in electrical or electronic engineering, a conductor is a type of material that allows the flow of a charge, otherwise known as an electrical current. Most common electrical currents are made from metals, e.g., copper, silver, gold. Such materials allow the flow due to its presence of free electron and ions to start moving when their potential difference is applied. Okay, so once again, examples, copper, gold, silver, aluminum, these are all conductors. These are all the wires that we'll find in our fans, our stoves, oven, everything that plugs into the wall. You're going to have these type of wires, you know, in it. The stuff that you don't see in your walls that make your electricity work, that all that stuff is these wires. A superconductor is a material that exhibits zero electrical resistance, i.e. there's no opposition for the flow of electrical current. The resistance causes the loss of energy in the form of heat. But since there's no resistance, there's no loss of heat or energy inside of a superconductor. And of course, there's no loss of heat because they keep it frozen. So that's why they keep it at a 0 degree temperature. But this one is different. And this definition, they didn't discover this yet when this definition was made by Webster's. But this will operate at room temperature. This changes the whole game. This means everyone can get one. Everyone can get a superconductor in their house and ditch the energy companies if they have. This is true. But unlike normal conductors whose resistance decreases slowly, the resistance of superconductor falls to zero below a fixed temperature known as the critical temperature. And that's why they got to keep it frozen. Normal conductors have some constant resistance, when their temperature it reaches absolute zero. But a superconductor's resistance abruptly falls to zero below the critical temperature. Okay, so like a copper wiring, it'll operate a little bit better if it's in a 0 degree environment, but it's still not perfect. You know what I'm saying? But this will continue to be perfect as long as it's in the 0 degree environment. And like I keep saying, the new one that they discovered, LK99, operates at room temperature. So it doesn't have to be in the 0 degree. This is going to make us all be able to have a quantum computer in our house, if this is true. You know, because the type of energy it takes to operate a quantum computer to operate on for an hour might be able to power New York for a month. This will change the whole game of everything we're doing if this is a true thing. The LK99 was discovered in a lab in South Korea. So the South Koreans discovered it. Then they passed it on to another college with the same exact, told them to do the same exact thing, and they did the same thing. So they said, okay, wait up. Now it's worked here and it's worked there. So now every college in the world is going to be working on this LK99 to see if they can get this into some to something that they that we could all use. So this is probably, remember it, I told Eddie on his show Wednesday, like, we got to do the numbers on this. This might be the biggest discovery ever, you know, as far as probably the biggest discovery since oil. Let's say that, you know, since they discovered oil. You know, this will be, replace oil, of course, but it will be, you know, one of these things in your car, one of these things in your refrigerator. This will replace a lot of the semiconductors. Semiconductors are the chips inside of our electronical devices that the current flows through and information is flowing through. You know, it's the stuff that makes your stuff smart. You know, the chip makes your phone smart. The chip makes your refrigerator smart. The chips in your car make your car smart. So it'll even replace that. This technology would replace the silicon that we put in the chips, you know. So this is pretty big. I'm surprised that they aren't talking about it everywhere. But I think if this was discovered in the United States, they definitely would be headlines all over the place. You know, the greatest discovery ever. But it goes to South Korea. Yeah.
So
look that up.
You know, we are electrical, so this is going to affect us too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sure. It might be in a good way, though. You know, you never know. But, you know, I'm interested to see it. It's that little cube that you see floating in the movies that, you know, I can't think of the movie with it, where they show it. But, yeah, this is pretty much like what powers the spaceships in the movie. But,
okay.
You know, it's real now. Like, they actually are showing it. Have you seen what's been going on?
What are they saying they're going to use it for?
Can you get this to work? They could cut out all the nuclear power plants in the world. They could shut down all the coal burning power plants in the world and just have this in there. And this will give electricity to a whole city, to a whole country, if it's big enough. But, you know, the United States will have one probably every so often. But, yeah, this is free energy, so to speak. This, and, of course, it's not going to be free. But in theory, you know what I'm saying, free energy without gas, without electrical power, something that charges a battery in a second. Once you plug the battery into this, your battery is automatically charged because it's a superconductor. You know, it's super. You know, so this for what they're planning is perfect timing. You know, electric cars, a whole electrical grid, getting rid of the oil, having electrical money. All of that needs electricity, and this will be the thing that it seems like, ironically, they just discovered, but it'll sure solve all their problems. And you can see the pictures of it working, how the student has it in the dish and it's just floating above the metal magnet, showing that it has zero resistance to that magnet. So also what this could do is trains wouldn't be on tracks anymore. They'll hover above the track. Cars could hover above the ground. They won't have to roll on the ground anymore. You know, like this would be that type of energy, that type of change that could happen if this is true, if this, you know, pans out to, you know, actually be true, you know. So that's, like I said, just remember it. You know, it might be like a few years ago, the big discovery was graphene. Still haven't seen, you know, too much. I hear about it here and there, but you know that was supposed to be the vibranium, you know, the new the vibranium in Africa for the Black Panther, like that device that fixes everything. But you know, they're still working with that, so you know, it might be years and years before this thing pops off, but it's been discovered, and that's a big deal. Have you seen what's been happening in Africa?
What's been going on in Africa?
Well, Africa, as you know, was one place until the 1850s, I believe, when they had the Berlin Conference and the Europeans, you know, split it up into the pretty much the country that it is today so they could colonize it and take the resources. And one of the major Europeans that took the resources was France. And France created a colony there called Niger or Nigeria. Looks like nigger without two G's, N-I-G-E-R, Niger. They speak French. So Niger is very important because it gave France a lot of control over the uranium market. Uranium is the key component in making nuclear power plants. It's also the key ingredient for a nuclear missile, nuclear bomb. All of that has uranium in it. Nigeria has the largest uranium supply. So over the years, Russia has moved in and cut a lot of deals with the Niger government to get uranium. Because they have, of course, France and the United States looked the other way and allowed this to happen because Russia will refine the uranium and sell it back to the United States. Talk about their nuclear arsenals. They supply each other. You know what I'm saying? So all of the trade restrictions on Russia that they put is no trade restriction on uranium. They still trade in uranium because the United States needs it and Russia needs the United States to do their part in some of the procurement of it. So Russia refines it, and the United States does some of the procurement of it, of the mining of it. You know, they get all that done over there through France. But they just kicked out the government. They had a coup. The military came in. They arrested the president, his wife and kids, and the presidential castle, and they put a Russian flag on top of the Capitol. In other words, to say we're no longer doing business with the West, we're doing business with Russia now. Now, just a few weeks ago, Russia blew up the Ukraine's grain mines. After Ukraine blew up their bridge, Russia took off the gloves a little bit and went and took off, shot up all their grain fields. So their grain fields is burning. They can't sell. Their number one resource to sell is grain. So but Ukraine supplies the grain to a lot of Africa. They're called the breadbasket of the world because they're the number one grain grower in the world. Russia's number two. So Russia stepped in and told Africa that he's going to send them Russian grain and a supplement for the Ukrainian grain he blew up because he understands that they need it. So he's looking real good to the African countries right now. He's going to give them the grain they need, even though he blew up Ukraine's grain. And China's over there, and China and Russia are working together on building bridges. Russia's doing a lot of the engineering on some of that stuff for them. So the United States is losing power in Africa. And when I say the United States, I mean the collective of the United States, France, UK, Germany, they hold a little posse they run with that control things. So now the United States is trying to get other African countries to fight a war against Nigeria's new military government. So that's popping off over there right now. Just sending a lot of equipment. A lot of it's coming from the Europeans. A lot of weapons over to the certain parts of Africa so they could fight a war against Nigeria. So look for that to really destabilize Africa, and because Africa is not really known, at least in my lifetime, except for the Hutu and the Tutsis, but they was using knives. That was something different. You know what I'm saying? That was ethnic cleansing. You know, they, even though they looked the same to us, they could see the differences in one another, and they wanted to kill the other group. But this is like an actual, they're going, I think one of the countries that are going to fight for the United States, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be Kenya and Nigeria. So now you got Kenya and Nigeria fighting a war against Nigeria, which will totally devastate, you know, the little bit of stuff they got in Africa now and make them totally dependable on whatever side wins the war. So, sad situation, but this is the United States failing policies there, you know, the West, China, Russia, they go and build roads, tunnels, bridges, dams, and the United States, Britain, France, they go to Africa and build churches. You see the difference? You know what I'm saying? They're going to give you Jesus. They ain't going to give you no infrastructure so that your people can do better. And you're going to take Jesus and give them your uranium, your cobalt, all your natural resources for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Where China and Russia are coming with vogue. All right, give us the stuff. We're going to build this vogue for you guys to have a vogue, you know, that connection to the next country. And they're like, what? Okay. You know, man, we're going to build a tunnel here for you so you can get here and there, and you don't have to, oh, wow. You know, we're going to build a bridge here, and that, we're going to build y'all a nice airport. It's no competition. You know, I'm going to take the infrastructure, you know. So that's what you see happening there.
Now, so if they making this LK-99, and they won't need the uranium to do the power, the nuclear stuff.
Oh, you'll still need it for nuclear missiles, though. You know, this is the MK-99 isn't going to blow up. It's a piece of metal or a piece of material that is able to function on its own in a certain state. It's not like uranium will blow up, you know. However, they put that together with the uranium and the plutonium, and they add certain gases and stuff to it, and you get the nuclear missile. So uranium will still be in high demand because they will be still using nuclear missiles in the future, you know, and they'll still want to keep their supply of uranium very high so they'll be able to threaten the world with their nuclear power. But this is going to be like energy, not military power, but energy power, you know. Now, this LK-99 could power a submarine. It could power an aircraft carrier. It'll probably, if you ever watch the Avengers, where the aircraft carrier could fly, they'll be able to do that now because they'll have this huge power source that allowed them to put some propellers and stuff on the sides of it, and it can get up in the air and stay up there, and it won't lose power. You know, nuclear power has its flaws. It's not that powerful. It gives everybody electricity power, but, you know, to be able to do, you know, you wouldn't put it on a space. You've never heard of them putting a nuclear power on a spaceship, saying, because it has some limitations, you know, and people can't be around it. So you can't put it in your house. Like, this thing to be able to put in your house, you'll put it in your walls, have all your, you know, electrical stuff running through it. You know, it should be something totally different, you know,
and
than copper wiring.
And they probably can create some energy guns. You know, can't they take that energy and use it as a weapon, too? You know how movies?
Knowing white people, that's the first thing they're going to be trying to work on, this thing, is how could they use it militarily. That's how they do everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why they're so good at building stuff, because they think about it in the most extreme way, and then they work backwards to how could this go to the everyday person, you know what I'm saying? But first is how can we use this in the military to make us better at killing people, you know? So,
right.
You know, that's a huge thing that they do. I thought that was, if they have this war in Africa, you got floods of Africans coming here. You know, it's not going to be, they're going to cut deals with them like the Ukrainians. They're going to come over. They're going to need them to be loyal to them to stay over there, some of them to stay over there and fight. So their families is going to come over here. So just like a lot of those men who stayed behind and fought in the Ukraine, the contingency was my wife and kids goes to the United States. And I'm going to stay here and fight. And if I survive, then I come to the United States. But if I don't survive, at least my wife ain't here no more. You know, that was kind of the contingency. You didn't come over to here unless you was fighting. Your husband or your father or somebody was going to fight over there. For you to come here, that's the whole plan, you know. So, yeah, way there too. Just like a bunch of the Afghanistanians came here. After that war, all the ones that helped the United States, they had to, you know, send them planes over there to get them. And those who couldn't come, that they didn't have enough space for, they was trying to hold on to the planes as they was flying away. And it fell off. You know, if you remember those pictures of those dudes holding on to the wind, thinking they was going to go over here, you know. But, you know, those people who help the United States always get some special privilege. It seemed to be you get to come to the United States. You know, welcome to America, you know. You know, be like Eddie Murphy. You know, coming to America,
right.
You know, everybody, I'm so happy to be here, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a shame what they're doing to the Africans that's here now that came up, came across the border, and they got a hotel downtown Manhattan called the Roosevelt, and they told all the, so you come here, you can stay, and they only let the Mexican immigrants in the hotel. They didn't let the African immigrants in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So all the African immigrants are sleeping outside the hotel. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the Mexicans got all the spaces inside the hotel. And, you know, they've been trying to ask for our help when, you know, this isn't fair, brother. You know, you guys should say something, but, you know, they don't come over here. I think black people got hip to the attitude that they come over here with, and they not really, a lot of people are reluctant to really speak up for them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they're not coming over here being assets to us. You know, you seem to be working with the white people against us. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're not getting the type of support they would have normally gotten in the past from, like,
right.
The black activists and stuff that would have been talking about how injustices and stuff. I don't see none of that. It's like, yo, y'all on y'all own with this one, y'all. You know what I'm saying? You know, we ain't fighting for y'all. You know, I think they're starting to feel that pain. You know what I'm saying? Any questions, Bev, on anything?
No. When you're ready to open the line, I can open it, but I don't have any questions so far.
Okay, I was going to get into this techno censorship.
Yes, go ahead.
And we've been dealing with this techno censorship for some time now, unfortunately. In fact, now, the new group saying they're being censored is LGBT. And they're saying that the technology, they're being techno-censored because parents aren't allowing their books to be in schools. Parents in some school districts have removed all the LGBT literature because they don't want their kids to be exposed to the literature. So they're calling that censorship. Can you believe this? That's not censorship, you know what I'm saying? But I got a few articles here I wanted to go through. And quickly, I mean, techno censorship, we experienced it during COVID. Anyone who went online and said, man, this is some bullshit. This is a hoax. I don't believe this is real. I ain't taking that vaccine. That vaccine kills people. What happened to you on social media if you posted that? You got kicked off. You got suspended. If you put out a video on YouTube or Instagram, and you could have actual doc in your video. Won't matter. Then you have content that's against the rules and regulation of this company. You can't say that. I mean, we've all experienced that. I mean, just if you write something in general, talking about Jewish people, you know, they'll, you know. I mean, honestly, technically, and the reason why black people are so quiet, you know, this is why I say shut up, nigga, because how they rolled out this whole censorship thing was they used race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started going after white people who were saying racist things, taking their jobs from them, even though they didn't say it at work. You know what I'm saying? But they even created the word Karen for white women. You know, Karen is like the universal word for a racist white woman. Have you heard that before, the Karen thing, Dev?
Oh, yeah. They got her all over the internet. They got all kind of videos of Karen. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime a white woman does something now, they're like, Karen in Pennsylvania, you know, picks up the middle finger at the black kids, or it'll be Karen in Detroit. You know, it's like the new universal word for a racist white woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of this is censored to censor them, right? Because we went along with it because we like, yeah, finally, yeah, you know, get rid of these people cursing and calling us nigger and stuff. They should lose their job, even though they didn't say it at work, right? And we went along with it because they were getting punished, but we know that's not right. We know it's not right. You know, I go outside and I call a white person a cracker. I shouldn't lose my job on the weekend if I call a white person a cracker. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have freedom of speech, but it was working in our favor, so we just shut up, nigga, and went along with it, right? But that's what generally happens with things working in favor. But then it became political. Became anti-Trump stuff. And it became pro-democratic stuff. And you started seeing a difference in, you know, hey, you can't say this or you can't say that. Or they'll censor, hey, what you said wasn't true, but I knew what I said was true. I said that it was a hoax. This Russian thing is a hoax. But you're going to punish me for saying that because that's against your rules and laws. I have the right to believe it's a hoax if it's not. So it starts to turn up in other areas, and it keeps going. And it keeps snowballing. But no one's really fighting back, right, because – who's going to fight back and defend the racist? Who's going to fight back and defend the homophobe, right? That's what they'll say, you know, oh, you say something about a gay person. It could be true. It could be, you know, I don't believe that transgender men should be competing in women's sports, right? Flag, you can't say that. Those are women. You can't, you know what I'm saying? So it's all part of the censorship. So this first article is from Media Research Center, and it's called Censor Track. the secondhand censorship effect, the real impact of big tech thought police. And I like this because they say thought police. I was thought police before. See, I was calling into a black radio program like Bev on another channel. And this was probably 10, 15 years ago. Maybe shorter than that, maybe longer, I don't remember. And I had expressed my thoughts on being from America. And the person, not the person who hosted the show, the person who ran the radio show, man, he started censoring me ever since then. You know what I'm saying? It was like, wow, you know, wow. And then the final straw was I went in there and I talked about the straw man. Oh, man, I mean, that was it. You know, don't call back in my show anytime. We don't got time for this nonsense. I said, okay, no problem, man. And I never do it again, you know what I'm saying? No, but, you know, thought pollution, like, everyone else gets to call in and say what's on their mind, you know, and add on to the conversation. But as soon as I add on with something that you don't know about, you want to thought police me now. Oh, no, no, that's out of my realm of, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, the name of the article is The Secondhand Censorship Effect, The Real Impact of Big Tech Thought Policing. America is increasingly outraged by the manner in which radical big tech leftists are censoring conservative and Christian leaders and organizations on nearly every major social media platform. Media Research Center, CensorTrack.org, has identified and verified over 4,000 individual examples of censorship. For purposes of this study, we looked at only the first quarter of 2022, wherein 172 cases were identified. An analysis of the audience of those individuals and organizations alone found that in that three-month period, there were no less than 144,301,713 times information was withheld from the American people using social media. So 144 million. 3 months. Okay. Media Research Center looked in at 7 platforms: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Spotify to calculate secondhand censorship impact. And they showed a little chart here. Have you heard of Joe Rogan before, Bev?
Yeah, I heard of him.
He has a secondhand censorship. 11 million people didn't see some of his videos because of the censorship. Mm-hmm. Tucker Carlson had 4,990,000 people not watch his video because of the censorship on Twitter. And this is before Elon Musk. This was 2022. Senator Ron Johnson on Twitter, 290,000 people weren't able to see one of his remarks. Mark Dykes on Facebook, 873,000. Just 144 million people. The effects of censorship that took place prior to the first quarter of 2022, the biggest example is former President Donald Trump, who was removed from all social media platforms in early 2021. Based on the size of his Twitter audience alone and frequency of his tweeting, this would have pushed the first quarter secondhand censorship total into the billions. Okay? A full accounting of Spotify's censorship of Joe Rogan's podcast, Spotify removed approximately 70 episodes of Rogan's podcast. Rogan had estimated 11 million regular podcast viewers at the time. Had all 70 episodes been counted, set as one, but separately, he would have lost a total of 770 million people who missed out on his content. Now, Joe Rogan has 70 videos taken down because in those videos, he or one of his guests used the word nigger. And around George Floyd time, it was this big push on censoring people and saying insensitive stuff to black people. So they pulled his stuff off, put a lot of pressure on Spotify. Spotify took all those episodes where nigger was used and removed them from their channel, which now suppresses all his people from ever seeing those videos again, even though they might want to. So that's the big deal with that. The biggest purveyors of secondhand censorship in the first quarter of 2022 were Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. During that time, users suffered secondhand censorship than any other platform. Using CensorTrack database, Media Research Center Free Speech America determined secondhand censorship affected Facebook 86,764,526 times. YouTube users 23,543,230 times. Twitter users 17,065,024. So that was just in the first quarter. Now what this is saying is they deem content that someone made to be for whatever reason they're using to be censored. So you can't see that. So all these viewers who subscribe to these people's channel or podcast or whatever can't see that content because platforms decided that should be censored. Okay? And as we go on, we'll see why. Media Research Center also found that secondhand censorship affected Spotify users 11 million times, Instagram users 3,828,826 times, TikTok users 2,083,866 times, LinkedIn users 16,211 times. So LinkedIn wasn't that bad, but that's just really work. Secondhand censorship during the first quarter cascaded across topics of war, alleged violence, race, transgender, COVID-19, and abortion, which were highlighted as their database. So those are the reasons they use for suppressing these people's content. They use war. Don't talk bad about this Ukrainian war. Oh, no. Don't talk bad. Don't talk about the Ukrainians are some damn Nazis. Oh, censored, you getting off. Okay. Race, you know, and of course that's their, hey, they don't want white people to say nigger. I get it. Transgenderism. Oh, you got to agree with that or you're getting, you don't say that a woman is a woman and a man's a man or they're going to censor you. COVID-19, we all experienced how that goes if you talk bad about that. And abortion. So those were the reasons they used to censor people. Anyone who was against abortion got censored. If you were for it, you didn't get censored. Secondhand censorship allegedly violent and war-related content more than any topic of the topic area during the first 3 months of 2022. They counted 19 cases of censorship of alleged violent and war content resulting in users being affected by shorthand censorship 26,366,000 times during the first quarter. YouTube placed second content filters on Fox News report from Republican Tulsi Gabbard and Fox News host Laura Ingraham about the Ukraine war as noted in March 9th CensorTrack entry. Gabbard said on the Ingraham angle, the Ukrainian president, Vladimir Zelensky, was reportedly open to engaging in negotiations to compromise with Vladimir Putin to end the war. YouTube used the content filters to chide Fox News subscribers, suggesting the video may be inappropriate and that YouTube community had identified video as inappropriate or offensive. Secondhand censorship translated to Fox News, 8,180,000 YouTube subscribers being prohibited from viewing potential pivotal news about possible paths toward peace at the Ukrainian war. Of course, they didn't want peace. So when she said the obvious that at this time Putin and Zelensky was meeting to have a peaceful negotiation, and at this time Putin was even willing to give him back everything but Crimea, and they have a peaceful solution, the U.S. didn't want that. So the last thing they want someone in the media to do is talk about a peaceful solution. They want war. They need the war over there to keep it going. So that's just one of the reasons there. Of course, the war. Race-related content targeted for secondhand censorship. In race category, woke big tech censorship took many forms. Actions range from Spotify retroactively removing some of comedian Joe Rogan's podcast to Facebook, blocking motivations of Babylon Bee's music video portraying Black Lives Matter riot, to Twitter, suspended Free Speech Alliance, and member Chalkboard Review, which opposed the Marxist critical race theory. Media Research Center counted 12 instances of big tech direct censorship of race-related content in the first quarter. Secondhand censorship affected the followers of accounts 13,433 times. Okay, so of course these platforms, that's how many times people see Joe Rogan's podcast, watching the Babylon Bee video, which is really a video just showing all of the violent acts that were taking place during the Black Lives Matter riot. Okay, because of course they didn't want to portray it as a violent riot. They wanted to portray this as these people were walking around breaking stuff up and being freedom fighters. And like I said earlier, that's why the kids think it's okay to get away with that today. You know? So that's the race content that they did the most suppressing on, was those issues there. And of course, critical race theory. Anyone who agrees that critical race theory is bad, oh, that's you're gone. You're out of here. Okay. Twitter suspended the Daily Wire commentator Matt Walsh in January. Twitter suspended Walsh for tweeting the greatest female Jeopardy champion, top female college swimmer, and first female 4-star general in the U.S. Public Health Service are men, which is true, right? Females, the girl, the guy, still with a penis, is racing the females in college, beating them by a whole lot. But we supposed to say that's a female. That general that they keep showing us on TV, who's a tranny, we're supposed to accept him as a female general. You understand? No, you're a dude who thinks you're a female. You're a wackadoo. Okay? And that female, that transgender Jeopardy champion, what are we doing here? Those are not females. He just said the obvious, but he has his Twitter suspended. And this is a actual journalist, an actual member of the media being suspended by social media. YouTube removed a sermon by evangelist pastor John MacArthur in January on basis of hate speech. The censorship happened after the pastor preached on biblical sexuality to protest the Canadian law that some worry might be teaching of biblical ethics. The YouTube removal of the sermon meant that the secondhand censorship affected MacArthur's 603,000 users. There are no such things as transgender, MacArthur preached. There are XX or XY. That's it. God made male and female. That's determined genetically, psychology, that is science, and that's reality. That's what a minister preached, and they canceled him off of YouTube. Took his sermon down. Call it hate speech. How is that hate speech? That's all set. Twitter censored Attorney General, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, 3 times in March. The censorship happened in the course of 2 days, March 17th and 18th. Paxton initially called Levine a man, then called Emma Wayman the real champion of the Division I women 500-yard freestyle after she lost to transgender swimmer Leah Thomas. After these two restrictions, Twitter callously censored a press release from Paxton's office criticizing big tech censorship. These 3 instances of Twitter silencing Paxton translated into 532,000 times used on social media had the information kept from them. So this is the Attorney General of Texas. This is the person that in the state of Texas could go to any post office, any public square, and hold court, take anyone to court, including the governor of Texas, has the authority to do that. The most powerful person next to the governor who appointed them in Texas. And they cannot say they want to congratulate the girl as the winner because the person who won is really a guy. You suspend the Attorney General's Twitter account. So this is how bad it's gotten, right? And that's LGBT stuff. Just the news published after March 3rd reported a Swedish study that found Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine can convert DNA inside human liver cells. All 867,000 of Just the News founder John Solomon's Twitter followers weren't allowed to read that post that covered the Swedish study. Not made up post. He took it from Swedish doctors who just did a study. They're studying the COVID shot, and they're saying, hey, that's changing the people's liver DNA. The press. You can't hear that. Such censorship potentially jeopardizes the ability of viewers to seek appropriate medical care for COVID-19. The censored story subheadlines also noted the Center for Disease Control and Prevention claimed the vaccine could not turn into DNA. So even though they took that person's article down, they put their own article up to challenge his. Come on, man, this is
crazy.
Exactly, big tech prejudicial secondhand censorship surged across 193,000 subscribers to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show when YouTube refused to post the political commentator's interview of Red Senator Rand Paul. Paul challenged the leftist narrative, saying there's no logical reason for vaccine mandates. This is a U.S. sitting senator. They decide, oh, no, he can't say that there's no need for the vaccine mandates to continue. Take them all. As you guys see, what are you going to be free to say in the future, right? Because it was a little parody I saw, a little comedy. And the guy was, he was on the phone talking to someone. And they were talking about a movie. He was on the phone talking to his friend. And he's like, hey, man, I'm about to watch a movie. Well, which one? I'm going to watch Raiders of the Last Ark, one of those movies with Harrison Ford. And he's like, oh, which one? He's like, oh, the second one. You mean the one where he chased the Nazis? And the phone said, you cannot use this phone for a week because you said you're promoting Nazi propaganda. Just because he said that, now that he was being funny to show the extreme of it. But, this is real. Now, me personally, I've only been censored on YouTube, and that happened a few months ago. But I was in the comments because it's only a few things I'm a really comment on. And these dudes is being coons. Ken, I can't stand coonery. So I called them coons. And, of course, I didn't know you couldn't say that word. So YouTube suspended me for calling these dudes coons. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I didn't say no lie. I was telling the truth. They were coons. But, you know, the stuff they was doing was crazy. But, yeah, I got some more articles on this. But if you want to open the line, I could you could go to that.
Let's see here. Hold on. Let's see. Who's here? Let me go back. Okay. The phone number is 323-642-1586. If you have a question, comment, call in. Push the number 1. Okay, 706, Kwame.
Good evening, Sister Bev. Good evening, Tatmos.
Good evening.
Peace, brother.
Peace. Anyway, you know, great show, man. A lot of important information that you're sharing. And about the censorship, that's part of them having behavior control. So the thing that we're seeing is that they're showing us how much, you know, yeah, we buy these phones and we get on them and we do all of these things, but they still have the FCC control. Trump showed you that when he did the broadcast on everybody's cell phone across America, and he made an announcement. But that's to show that they have control over that. And anyway, they have the algorithms, and we're in the new Jim Code. You know, we got through Jim Crow. Now we're in the new Jim Code, because anything that is put through the fiber optics of this system, they in essence have control over what gets let through and what doesn't. There's a journal called the Journal of Psychology Media, and what they have done is they look at how that they program the news and the television programs, and this is what you were talking about when they were displaying the youth and letting them see how they tear up things. Because what this is that they're looking at saying, see, we can't let these young people do because they're destructive. They're doing this and they're doing that. And then even when they had the riots with George Floyd, they had Antifa to step in. And they would put their operatives into the riots to do the part of portraying the racism that they want to keep perpetuating. Because as long as the Europeans sees us doing things to each other, see, they don't need to be doing. They ain't doing no good, and that and the other. But the part that you went through about what you were talking about, the Berlin Conference in 1884, this is what's happening to 2024. This is happening today. United States has 29 bases in Africa. France has only 15. Niger is one of their main bases where they control their drones. Niger is where they control their drone base in. So what you're seeing is the operative, and the thing about them harvesting uranium, you can go right now above Flagstaff, Arizona. There's a place called Tuba City, or the Land of the Forgotten People. That's where they mine the uranium to create the Oppenheimer's bomb that they dropped on Japan and on Japan. That land can never be used again, and it's millions of acres that they put them on as their reservation, but that land has no, it cannot grow anything. For thousands of years, it won't be able to produce anything. That's what you have going on in Niger, and that's why they're coming up with this thing about the grain and controlling the grain. As long as they're taking the resources out of it, they're destroying the land. The other part, what we're seeing is that Africa is the key part of this new trade, because the largest population of young people, 70%, is on the continent of Africa. 70% between 18 and 30-year-old is 17%, and by 2050, the population will be in the billions there because the African is not going for the genocidal process. They're still reproducing. The average woman has 4 children per woman on the continent of Africa. That's why they're not accepting that LGBTQ stuff. So what we're seeing is that this is the new thing, and the LK-22, LK-99, remember when the microwave came out and they said people couldn't walk into the room where a microwave was being used? Remember when they first came out with the big microwave? Same thing. That is going to affect the human because the guts, the amount of, yeah, it's going to put out electricity, but the magnetic is going to affect the human body. And so what we're looking at, yes, you're going to be able to turn on this and turn on that, but you ain't going to be able to be in the room with it. See, this is the part. University of Toronto, when they were talking about the superconductors back in the early part of 2000, Toronto was doing, it was listing all the things that would do when they create that, because what it's going to do, it has to have a magnetic field. And you are energy. And in that field of energy, you will be affected by what's being transmitted from that little box, super box that's going to put out, oh, we got new electric. Oh, no, you got a new death rate. We already have the effect of the 5G right now and what it's doing transmitting through the cell phone towers and through the power lines, and you're going to compact it and put it into a nice-sized power box and say, here, let me put this here so we can kill you quicker. I'm not going against technology, but we've got to look at it honestly because they have not perfected a lot of the things that they're putting out here. Even the 5G is not perfected because that's what happened in Wuhan when they turned it on over there. They say it was a bet, but the same thing happened in 1918 when they turned on electricity and they had the flu. So this is the whole part of what we're seeing is, yes, we make advancements, but we have not made advancements with the natural order of things, and we're out of order. And so these are the parts, and I'm grateful for what you bring us because we need to know what they're doing because this is all part of the media. The censorship, that's part of it, but the portrayal of us through media, this is how they see us because other countries – when they show us on these different programs, especially the criminal program, they show Dick Wolf has been putting out Law and Order, Criminal SC1, and putting out all of these crime programs. This is giving the world who we are shown to be. And so this is how the media portrays all of these acts, just like here's a sister, 4 sisters on top of Elmina Castle twerking, holding their cell phones and putting this on TikTok. That goes around the world. Respect our ancestral places. You would try twerking at the mosque or twerking over there at the wall at where the Jews pray at. Guarantee you they would be probably killed. I mean, we got to look at what's being given to us and what they're using to get us distracted because when you say entertainment, the word is really telling you right there to enter you and to detain you, to keep you from progressing to your highest natural good, to your God self. And this is the part that we have to begin to use it. Like we said last night on the show, Bev, we need to have the time we can use the techno-spiritual, but we need to come together and get in nature and get into the human contact and discuss what we need to discuss and move to the next level in our evolution. That's what we have to do. All that's good, you know, and it's good that we progress it because my generation, Bev, your generation X, you came introduced to it. We didn't. You all are the ones help us to learn how to use it and work with it. This is why I'm here listening for you because you telling me something that I got to research and see how it goes with what went on before it came and what it's doing to now. We got to bring them together. What was past, we got to look at how is it foundationally correct for the future.
And that's the coming together, working together.
That's it. That's the old and the next generation. And we got to look at the young people because the way that you were saying that these young, because when you, I seen that all of the young people in the street, everyone had a phone. Watch George Floyd, had his knee on his neck. Everybody standing there with a phone. Yes, good, we recorded it, but nobody went to help him. Dang, you might have saved his life. You might have got arrested, but you might have saved his life.
Yeah, for sure. But I ain't see nobody with phones in Alabama, though. You saw that?
Yeah, they did. They had phones.
I mean, no, none of them brothers that was down there fighting, they wasn't, you know, I heard the sisters, you know, get them. They was holding their phones and filming, but I saw brothers stepping in to help that dude. Unlike George Floyd, where they just sat there and yelled, you know, get off him and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But the LK99, I get what you're saying. It's definitely going to alter the energy. And if it ever comes about, you know what I'm saying? So that's something to definitely think about. Because right now with all these devices we use, they omit radiation and things like that as, you know, stuff we're using right now to talk on this phone. So who knows what they'll be omitting then. And today, right, I'm on my way to work. And I get to my office, the office I work at. And, you know, I'm on time, you know, walk in, you know, take my headphones off, you know, and I see my coworker. She's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, to work. She's like, no, you were supposed to work at the other office today. I said, oh, I forgot. Ew. So I rush downstairs, hop on another train, catch it to the other office. So it's raining this morning, and it's so humid. So I'm just pouring down sweat. So while I'm sitting on the train, I pick out a rag from my backpack and wipe my sweat with it, and take my headphones off because they were, you know, getting wet from the sweat, and put them in my backpack. And then I realized, oh, this is my stop, and I got off, and I left my phone on the damn train, bro.
Mm.
I was, oh, God, how did I leave my phone? Trying to grab everything and just get off real fast. Usually in my pocket, but, you know, I put it down because I was wiping my sweat. So get to work, I tell my boss, man, I left my phone on the train. She's like, oh, my God, how can I call you all day and bother you if you don't have your phone? She says, did you try calling it? I said, nah, it's a wash, man. I'm going to have to get a new phone. I go, she says, all right, well, you go downstairs, cool down, you're sweating, you know, this, that, and other. So I go down, and I sit down, and I put the fan on. So I use the work phone, and I call my mother, tell my mother, you know, I lost my phone. So, you know, if you try to call me, don't think I'm avoiding you, you know what I'm saying? And my boss comes rushing in. I called your phone, and this guy picked up. He has your phone, so. I had to go all the way out to Flush, Queens. He said, go. Just go right now. I don't care. Just go. So I will go all the way out to Flush and Queens. Flush and Queens makes Chinatown look like it ain't Chinatown. That's how much Chinatown Flush and Queens is. It's Chinatown on steroids. Okay, So I'll be over there. Well, you smell is fish and stuff everywhere. You know, they run everything. It ain't a sign in English. You know what I'm saying? This is a huge part of Queens. Might be the biggest part of Queens, right? But I get there, and, you know, it was a Spanish dude. You know, he gave me my phone, and I, you know, was able to. So I was thinking, man, how I can't even call Bab to tell her I can't do a show without the phone, you know? But all that to say, he's talking about the young people with their phones. And, man, yo, my whole life was over because everything I got, I'm thinking, yo, I can't even buy lunch today because I left my car at home thinking I'll just use my phone, you know. That's how I got on the train this morning. I had to borrow train fare for my boss to go get the phone, you know, because that's my card is in the phone, you know. Everything is in that one device. So these kids are always holding it. And it's like a source of power almost, you know what I'm saying? I can't really explain it, but I do see that the youth will film something happening rather than engage in trying to stop it. You get what I'm saying? So it could be back in my day, you see some people fighting. It was always some people that was trying to break it up. They would try until they realized, okay, these dudes, they going to fight regardless, so let me just let them fight. But there was always someone who tried to break it up. The phone is sort of like an instigator. It's like, you know, ooh, we got you on camera now. So now you know when everyone's watching, you're going to act a little bit more extra. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to look like no sucker, you know. So I see the phones really, like you was just saying, the young people addiction to the phone. Because I didn't even have it my whole life. And I felt like I was lost. And I was only without it for like an hour. And I felt like, man, what am I going to do? I don't got my music. I don't got everything is in there. And the same trend with these young people. That's why when you take their phones, they lash out in ways that is really violent, right? You see, like, a good kid, the parent takes the phone and they go kick over the table, you know, because that's their life. That's more than just their, you know, someone your age looks at it like a phone. Then I call people and I'm able to look up some information, but they look at it like this is their everything. This is their, they don't know their friends' numbers. This is how they communicate with their friends. This is how, so yeah, it's a big deal, man.
Right, and I'm glad we're talking on this because I was reading, and I got to get this book. This guy, his name is Jonah Harry. He's out of UK. He wrote a book called Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention. Right there, your focus was on wiping the sweat off, and you getting it off, and you laid the phone down and had to jump off the train to go and left your phone. But you realize that the focus is that the phone has everything you need to function. Basically, we have come so dependent on these phones, even to where our children, what you just said about them having tech, because the dopamine release in the brain, and they're so chemically addicted. These young people are Wi-Fi addicts and the adults. Why this system has been set up in the way that we are the new captain. We're Wi-Fi slaves.
Yeah, we definitely in the web.
Yeah, we're in the web.
Can't get out that web.
And that spider is just crawling around saying, okay, we got another one. And what are they using? Mm-hmm. They use cotton to start it with the fiber, the white gold. Started the industrial age. Now they're using the fiber optics to web the rest of the planet by dropping these cables into the ocean and connecting all of these continents so they can have transmission from satellites, but they can still keep transmission on the earth because it's all under the ocean.
Let me let somebody else on at the table. 740-963.
Greetings, family. Greetings.
Greetings. Greetings.
How you doing, Sister Belle?
Great. How are you doing?
Peace.
Doing good. How you doing, Brother Thomas, Elder Kwame?
Doing good, brother.
Great,
man. It's, you know, I'm just grateful to again, to be a part of this this whole thing, and Sister Bev giving the platform, and you know, Brother Thomas can't get enough, man. It's right on point with the AI, and it's interesting that you had mentioned Joe Rogan, because to me he brought together a bunch of personalities that he not necessarily condoned, but it shows just how AI was used to alert the opposing forces that, hey, you know, there's some good information being put out over on this side. You might want to go in and, you know, do your censorship thing and shut that piece down. Because, you know, even though it was viewed as a white community using the N-word in an inappropriate manner, a lot of the times, even though they were making use of that word, like around the George Floyd thing, Rogan was actually pointing out how inappropriate that was. He's one of the few personalities that actually spoke up for, you know, black folk, in my opinion. I no longer follow him, but just the whole AI thing and how it was used. And, you know, it came out later on that Twitter and other platforms were allowing certain members to have backdoor information. And they would be able to go in and censor certain things, and again, to keep that out of the active community from being able to take action on it. So there's some good things in there. You know, even with AI, we have to realize that, hell, man, we can regain a lot of control. You know, there's so many different things going on right now. My wheelhouse and add too much more than what you already have, but good points. And again, the thing is focus. You were taken out of your normal course of behavior today, and in doing so, you did something that happened. Exactly. You sat your phone down just for a minute, and you know, I've been under those situations, and oh man, thank God it seems like we're protected by a lot of divine intervention, because you got your phone back, I got my phone back, and, you know, a couple of those situations. but we have such a dependency on technology today. For me, and some of the issues that I'm trying to mitigate, I went back to writing everything down, addresses, phone numbers, you know what I mean? So, therefore, if I'm ever in that situation, I can just pull open my little spiral notepad out of my backpack and say, hey, man, can I borrow your phone? I need to make an emergency phone call real quick. You know what I mean? So I always revert back to that old school thing, knowing that, you know, what we have going on today and technology and all the dependencies. And, yeah, it can be a great just allowing our kids to get involved in such photosensitivity, you know, devices that give off photosensitivity to the point of, you know, it kind of hypnotizes people. You know, and then the whole dopamine thing behind, you know, posting something and expecting some sort of a like or, you know, some sort of a comment, you know, yeah, that all has a dopamine response as well. And, yeah, they keep using that against the people who really don't know what they're dealing with. And that's how they get a lot of people caught up in bullshiggity. And, you know, next you know, you got people running down the street naked, smoking crack. And, you know, when they really don't, they just normally drink water, you know, for their life and, you know, honor Buddha or whatever the hell it is. So great conversation, family. I appreciate y'all giving me a little bit of time to speak on the topic. Go ahead, brother.
I think the addiction has a large part to do with the light. And it's always a fascination with lights. From even when you're a child, right, the colors that they put in front of you always, you know, bright, but they give you these toys that light up, and they don't even really do nothing. You just push the button so it lights up, and, you know, you go, I always say, why do people come to New York? You know, I don't get the whole fascination. What the heck you come here for, see a building? But I think it's the lights, man. They come to see the lights, all right? They come to see Times Square all lit up at night. And you're pitch black darkness, but it looks like you're in that middle of the afternoon with all the lights on, right? Same thing with Vegas. It's a connection to lights, just like it's a connection to sounds, right? But lights in particular, because this is all technology that's built fourth dimensional. It's built, using light. And light has a light and time. Both have the same thing. In fact, you measure time using light, and you measure light using time. You know, so the fact that you have this light that's in your hand that you can engage with, and it shines back at you, and you can control it, and it's so many lights, and you'll spend time just using it, right? Just wasting time, just wasting time. A couple weeks ago when I was talking about how TikTok works, how it works like they gave the example of the rat in the cage, and he pulls a lever and a piece of food comes out. He pulls a lever and another piece of food comes out. He pulls a lever and nothing comes out. So what's he going to do? He's going to sit there and pull a lever, pull a lever, pull a lever, pull a lever, and then a piece of food comes out. And he's going to keep pulling the lever because eventually he knows that piece of food will come out. And that's the same thing with this, looking at these lights. You're going to keep swiping to the next video, because, you know, eventually that video that we like is going to come on, right? That one that's going to be only 30 seconds long, but it was something that we really wanted to see. And that's the release. That's the dopamine effect that Kwame was talking about that these kids get. But the light itself, even the fireworks, man, who don't love fireworks, you know? Little kids sit there with their eyes wide open and their mouth open looking at the fireworks because, oh, look at all the lights. So that's the connection, I think, that makes this thing so addictive, you know.
And, you know, Facebook mm-hmm. intentionally built that into the application to behave that way, especially for adolescent users. And as a matter of fact, I don't know how they got around it, but you were supposed to be 18 and older to have a Facebook account, you know. And I don't know how many adolescents have been signed up for Facebook that are well under 18. Now, the thing about Facebook is early on, like 2013, and Rob X brought this up as well on the Fuel Assistant Bev show. I've even read through a few white papers, you know, the executives for that company were jumping ship. Like, I wouldn't let my children interact with that application over my dead body type situation. So they built it into the application to stimulate flight or flight response, that whole addictive, you know, that serotonin dopamine thing. That's exactly what they intended to do, which is a damn shame, you know.
Yeah, but could I add to that?
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing that Tutmos was saying with light and time, what's the speed of light? 186,000 miles per second, right? That's what Einstein came up and said, that's the speed of light. What's the speed of darkness? The same thing. People are afraid, and the essence is they work on a fear factor. You said that part of the fight or flight. People are afraid of darkness. You take a person and put them in the country where it's dark and where it's no street lights and not, all the fears kick in because it's the natural way that we're supposed to be in, but we have been conditioned to be in an unnatural, an artificial environment. That's why, like you saying, Vegas and Times Square is daylight at night. Because people don't want to be in darkness. You sleep with the light on. You sleep with the television on. You sleep with you got to sleep with some type of light around you. And the part of it is that shuts you down because you have a natural circadian rhythm that your body was naturally made that when the sun goes down, it releases the melatonin for you to go down. You're not supposed to be altered from the natural and the light and the dark. We're supposed to have balance, but we're out of balance. We're out of order, and this is what they're using to create this disorder. Is that blue light? Because they've just taken it down a notch. They're taking it down to a blue light, and that's what they're using. You got the halogen lights. You got all of this because you started out with candescent light. First, you started with candlelight. You started with the light of the fire. Then you had the oil light. Then you got electricity. And when you turned on electricity, what did you get? You got a major disease because you disrupted the frequency of light and dark by putting another frequency in it. And then doing
and also,
that, you took people. This is why people are so having to have to be in light, because they're afraid of the dark. People fear darkness.
Some do. I don't.
I mean, yeah,
I
don't. I
dwell
I'm
best
here.
In meditation and the darkness, and that people need to do a digital detox and get away from that stuff. You know, a good one day out of the week I do just fine, but damn, I do it more than that. So I ain't done Facebook since 2013, since I started reading those white papers and figuring out what the hell was going on. No, I know, I'm cool. And still to this day, you know, family members, hey, you ain't seen such and such? Nope. I don't interact with that craziness. That's just self-inflicted gunshot wounds to the foot all day long, right?
And also, it's a form of hypnosis, because they was doing it with the TV. If you was to, you know how we look at TV in the living room, we have the lights out, and go in the kitchen or another room and look back in that living room, you're going to see all of those lights flickering. And that's just like when they used to have that wheel whirling around. It used to be in circles, and that put you up on a hypnotic thing, and that's what they use for hypnotic too. Yes,
the outer
limits,
twilight zone.
Yeah.
And see, even with the thing that the little Indian, when television went off, that was the first QR code that we have now. That you take pictures of these little QR codes, and you got a that Indian with those circles around it was so when they came back to the television station the next morning, they didn't have to try to focus that camera. All they had to do was point it onto that Indian, and it automatically adjusted right back to the same frequency.
Yeah, not honestly believe that once we get back to interacting with Earth, either through gardening or not gardening or whatever, you know, and actually interacting with the animals like horses or, you know, some sort of a livestock in that, you know, there's a symbiotic relationship, you know, with nature. And once we begin to embrace those things to begin, and, you know, a lot of groups are starting to come together and do those land things. So it seems to be working. So, and that's all I have to add. And thanks for your time, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. And we also need to stay out them supermarkets. We need to start going to the farms and buying our, you know, the farms have, you get the food cheaper and everything when you go directly to the farms and get them. And everything
has farms. I realized this today when I was in Flushing, right? Because, like I say, my wife is from Flushing, and my wife remembers when the area was no Asian people in the area at all. And as she grew up, it became gentrified by Asians, right? So when I first met her, I would go catch the train out there, and I was amazed, like, damn, look at all these Chinese people everywhere. Look at this. But when I went there today, it was on a whole nother level. It was like, whoa. I mean, the population was super huge, right? But every other store was a fruit stand, some type of fruit stand, some type of seafood spot.
Yeah.
And I said, they're getting all this stuff because they own all the doggone land in America. You know what I'm saying? So this is all stuff coming from their farms, because I saw a couple of trucks that looked like they had out-of-state plates, you know, like Oklahoma plates. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, whoa,
right.
That's right. You know, so these are the foods that they're growing, you know what I'm saying? And bringing back to their part of town. And every other store that set up a whole market to sell this stuff. I mean, they had these cucumbers about the size of at least 4 feet long. Super huge cucumbers, big giant. Now, you know, they like GMO stuff, the Chinese. They'll eat anything. But, I mean, they had a lot of stuff that I never saw before And I said, you know, there's no way they're getting all this stuff from China. They growing this stuff right here. This is the farms that all the farmland that they done took over to grow their own stuff. You know, all this dragon fruit and stuff that they eat, you know. So I thought that was like, wow, we should be doing that. All we get is a guy in Harlem. He sets up on the corner. They set up on corners every summer, and they bring all the watermelons from the south, and, you know, they sell them on the corners. But then what about everything else we grow? Like, we need to really set up a system of getting our markets.
Because some people is doing that already. I'm not talking about
where we got every other store in Harlem where some black people are selling the stuff they grow down south. It should be the same way the Chinese got it. You know, it all it's going to take is some logistics. You know, like, yo, okay, which is going to take some technology. You growing this and when is it going to be ready? Okay, I'm going to have a truck go down there to pick that up at that date. You know, it has to be some type of logistics. The same way FedEx works and UPS works and Amazon works to get packages from here to there in a certain amount of time, we could do the same thing. It's just going to take some us to get together to do it, because there's no reason why in Chinatown they got all those huge fruit stands and vegetable stands with stuff they grew here in our country. You know, and we don't got none of it. We got more land than them.
But well, could I go back to something?
Well, we got people that's doing that here already. I'm just finding out about in Michigan that we got people that there's farms here that the farmers, that there are people that go get the food, bring it to a certain, come and get the food and take it back to the city or wherever they're doing. We just not connected.
And that's where the technology has got to come in. Because we have to get the people that know how to set up the apps that we could go on and say, okay, the weekend is going to be the farmer's market down here at this location, and they're going to bring in black farmers are coming in. My first job as a seven-year-old kid, every summer I used to get on the back of Mr. Bishop's vegetable truck, go down in before sunrise, go down to South Water Market, buy all the greens and vegetables, and come back up to the city and go up and down the alleys in Chicago yelling vegetable man.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what we got away from, and these are the ways in which we were able once upon a time that we had people that would go and get the vegetable, bring it back, and drive down.
Yes.
But you try doing that in the community now and see what happens. These are the things that we have to look at and see how can we bring these back. Because all of that artificial lighting in the produce section, that stuff is artificial and is grown in factories.
Everything.
It ain't grown out here.
Yeah. Right. That's why I say stay out the supermarkets. And I was told also that it's best to eat food where you are living at, just because you in that vibration, you eat that food, and every state have farms.
Right, because of the energy that it grows in, you living on. And so what best to work with your body, that the earth and the energy that you're living on, you're consuming it and eating. But the other part is that the indigenous now are now teaching in their universities and on their reservations, food sovereignty, food is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that they're saying that once upon a time was eat nothing that doesn't grow in its own packaging. Eat nothing that doesn't grow in its own packaging. Because you look at, you go in the supermarket, all these different designs and packages and all of this labeling and words on the packaging, all of that has an effect on what's inside of that package
that's
going inside of you. So when you eat something that is grown, when like you got those log cucumbers, you got all of that fruit that's outside still in the sunlight, So you are seeing what it grew from, and that's the energy that you want to take and put in you, but you taking something from outside that's under fluorescent lights that makes it look colorful. But if you have
got wax on it.
But when you take the fruit, the food out of the store and you take it outside, it looks different. It's a whole different lighting because that lighting is made to give it that false look.
And, you know, a lot of people have food trucks. I mean, why not go to the farm and sell your stuff on your food truck? I would love to have a food truck somewhere, and I know where they parked at, and I can go and get something that they just got from the earth, from the farm.
Yeah, but I had a sister that lived in Iowa, and she used to go around to the farm and help pick stuff, and the excess that they did, she had a truck that she did canning. She would get all, she had all of her mason jars and all of the stove, that butane, propane stoves, and she bought, she canned all of that food that she got off of, fresh out the earth, canned it right there, and had it for sale.
I mean, it's so much we could do.
In the shelf life.
Yeah. Let me let this person add to the mound table also. 405-388.
Peace, family. Better love.
Better love.
I wanted to say,
Sharon.
As far as the, hello?
I said, peace, Sister Sharon.
Yes,
hey, hey.
Sharon. Great to hear you.
Hey, man, it's great to call in and bring this to the family. So, you know, I know we always coming down on the youth for being on their phone so often. And even as Thomas mentioned, you know, they willing to record, but they not willing to engage. And I just wanted to ask, how did y'all miss the holiday yesterday? Or I'm sorry, Saturday.
What holiday?
Y'all only hear what happened in Montgomery?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
About
we didn't get another show.
I'm sorry?
We talked about it.
We spoke about it.
Show.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay, okay, yeah, because I was like, man, y'all can't let the night pass without mentioning such amazing work at play there. When I say came together, man.
Yeah, that was one of the few times you ever see brothers, sisters, and the youth, and the elders, we was all together on that one. That was like a family reunion, man. Everybody was together on that one. I loved it.
And nobody had to say a word. That was the most beautiful thing about it all. Nobody had to say a word. It was nothing but action to be taken.
Yeah, yeah. I feel.
But yeah, going back to. Oh, go ahead.
I feel bad for the brothers. So they gotta go. Like to me, if this was a white cop getting beat up by some black kids, some black people jumped in to help them. They wanted to lock none of them dudes up, man, but, you know, I hate that they locked these brothers up, and they probably going to have to, you know, get some sentencing or something behind it. But I felt like it was self-defense, and,
but the white guys
us,
got locked up, too. The white guys got locked up.
Yeah, they got locked up. They deserved to get locked up, but to me, the black people did, because they was helping my man. And like I said, when you jump somebody, when you jump a black person, when you jump a black person, the get back is anybody with you getting jumped. Everybody getting hit. It's not no we just looking for the ones who did it stuff. No, man, you stand out here with them, you getting it too. You know, so that's what I saw, and they gonna punish them for that. But I loved it though, man. They need to take that one.
August is officially Black History Month. I'm going to just go ahead and call it. But going back to what you guys were speaking about with technology earlier, and, you know, even though we have all these advancements, we have, you know, we have to find ways to always, you know, stay connected to nature and, you know, protect and prevent these waves and frequencies from affecting us, affecting our minds, affecting, you know, our bodies. We have everything that we need here. Everything. Organized.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very powerful. If you're around technology, have yourself some protection around you. Organize what it is.
But even, and that's the part that a lot of us, organ generators, crystals, different things that you use to shield yourself. Because even in going into the Holy of the Holies and the Biblios, the Helios Biblios, they talk about the breastplate of the gold and the gemstone and the gemstones that were used in order to go into that space. So what we're looking at is how do we counter this? You know, they got, what do they call these, blue light glasses that now they're selling to people that work on computers and in front of computer screens all day in order to save their eyes. And even the part of being able to know how to, Tesla coils. You can get them from Switzerland, the Tesla coils that you can put on the back of your phone to help in the transmission to keep some of the radiation off of you. The certain things we got to learn, if we're going to use it, we got to know how to use it in the best way. But we're going to have to use, just like anything, we use it in moderation. Because I used to tell my children, okay, yeah, you can watch television, but however long you watch that television, you're going to have to give me that time in books. You're going to have to read a book. If you're going to sit there and watch 2 hours worth of a program, you're going to have to give me 2 hours worth of book reading.
Absolutely, so, I agree. We do have to break it up.
So, Sister Shine, you deal with technology. What do you do when you're working with your technology?
I have organized pyramids all around my office at work.
Mm-hmm.
I have them all around my house at home. I have crystals everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation. Meditation is a lot of things. It is a very important thing, too, because when you put your intentions out there, and when you have pure intentions and you got divine energy working on your side, your mind becomes stronger, which in turn makes your physical body stronger.
Okay.
Because
even with tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying I have crystals and all of that around my computer, but I still can feel the energy. The radiate, I still feel it, and I probably would feel it a whole lot if I didn't have all this stuff around me.
The other part that I do, well, I guess because I live out here in the woods, and the thing that I do with it is at night before I go to bed, I got all of my Wi-Fi and stuff is on a surge protector, and I hit the surge protector button to turn everything off. And then
I do
is turn off all lights. Because sleep in darkness is better that I find that I'm better able to relax and let that circadian rhythm kick in and sleep better. And even when the way in which we sleep directionally, you know, is that there's wires that run through the walls. There's electricity running through your wall constantly. And the thing about it is that a lot of people still use metal bed frames and spring coil mattresses, and all of that conducts energy. If you got it up against the wall, it's pulling that energy that's seeping out of the wall onto that bed frame and onto those springs and that mattress, and you laying there in that bed with your laying on your back, and that energy running up and down your spine is being directed. So that's why it's good to turn off as much as you can to be able to do that. And attempt to put your sleeping space in a direction where, if it's possible, that your head is facing east. So that way the energy of the sun, when it begins to rise, it will make you rise with it. And see, we have to get back into the order of how we relate with energy. Because for me, is that my bed faces that, and I got to get up at 4:45, 6 o'clock. I know I have to sit here until the sun, come outside and sit till the sun come up. Then I'll go back and get into bed. But that sun is going to wake me up in order for me to greet it. And then once I greet it and then the daylight is up, I'll go get back into bed, take me a nap, and then get up later and do what I need to do for the rest of the day. But there's an order to it, and I know everybody's got to get to work and do those things, and I'm doing, but we've got to develop a ritual in being able to see how we focus and giving ourselves the right permission. Even there was at the Consciousness Award, the brother was saying a prayer. He says, everybody should go to the mirror before you go to bed and look at yourself and says, I love you for the day. To tell yourself that you, if nobody else tells you, you tell yourself that you love you in order before you go into sleep. And what I do with sleeping, I've got two tight magnets and a crystal that I keep in my pillowcase because that helps my brain waves magnetically. Those two hematite magnets and that crystal helps me to keep a balance in dream time. So it's these little things that we have to begin to implement as part of our ritual and how we go through our days.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Now we got about 10 minutes left. Sister Shine, are you getting close to having your class?
Yes, I've actually already started building out the modules, like getting a lot of the certificates ready for each module. So, yes, yeah, coming along. It'll be I'll be announcing the date probably in the next 3 weeks or so because it'll be starting early September.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to come on and let us know when.
And everybody.
Yeah, I've already had a couple of the family members reach out to me.
Hmm.
Yeah, tomorrow is 888, the gateway with the sun aligned, the sun and the galactic and Sirius. All of that is the alignment of that portal gateway. And so writing tonight your intentions or whatever and putting forth what you want to transmit or what you feel that you want to see, to just project it. Put it out into the universe.
So, okay, after 12 o'clock, we're going into the 888, the Lion Gates are opening.
Yeah, and we're being in the Lion's Gate, but this is the alignment of our sun, Sirius, which is July 1st is when it came back. And it's now, you know, it aligned with the pyramids of Giza and that whole alignment there. And it's 4 days left unto it. But what it is on 8-8, it aligns with the sun in the Milky Way galaxy and Sirius all line up together on that 8-8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it'll move. Yeah. Right, and then it moves, and the whole cycle moves again. But that's the way the cycle goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very powerful time. So we got to know how to use these powerful energies.
Yeah, and that's how you work your alchemy.
Okay. Tugmos?
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank everyone for calling in. Always a great conversation, and I look forward to Sister Sean coming back on to do a show about the school and see exactly where she is with everything, so we can try to promote it and get as many people to sign up as possible for her. I'll mute myself. Thank you, Bev. I love you as always. Love all the family.
Thank you.
Thank
everyone. Yes, thank us. Thank us. And thanks, listener. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Robert X. Better love, everyone.
All right.
Come here.